Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Today is Reformation Sunday. I mentioned that earlier, right? 504 years ago, Martin Luther nailed 95 theses to the church door in Wittenberg, Germany. Thereby, the Lutheran Reformation had begun. The Reformation was still years in the making, but this was the beginning. Why did we need a Reformation? Well, there was slavery involved, and not like physical slavery, like I get you to work for me for nothing. Like, no, the Roman Catholic Church had been living a tyrannical rule over the people in that they would not preach forgiveness. They would not preach Christ. Instead, what they preached was what we know as works righteousness. That is, sanctification came before justification. Holy living came before being forgiven. And that's a big problem, because that's not the way the scriptures speak. The church was easily enslaved and manipulated, and that's not good. So what did God do? God chose a man, and he is just a man by the name of Martin Luther. And Luther led the charge in freeing the gospel once more. Because of Luther and some of his counterparts in the theological world and other pastors and things like that, the gospel was freed. People could hear Christ freely again, and they could trust not in their own works, but in the works that Christ has accomplished for us. 504 years ago, 504 to the day. Today is Reformation Sunday. But what does that mean? Why do we set aside this day? Why do we mention this every single year during the last Sunday in October? Is it so we can look fondly onto the past? Way to go, guys in the past. You did a great job. Is it so that we can look at our church sign out front and see the name Lutheran on there and we can go, look at how good we did? Is it to bask in our accomplishment, right? Victory, triumphs, or good triumphs over evil and victory? And all too often, it seems like the Reformation is just this nice little stroll that we get to take down memory lane. But it's so much more. The Reformation, we celebrate it every single year because it's never ended. We need to remind ourselves that the Reformation is ongoing. It happens every year, but not just every year. It happens every month, but not just every month. It happens every week, every day. There is to be a Reformation in our own lives. So what does the Reformation look like in 2021? What does the Reformation look like in your life? Our sermon for this morning focuses on the gospel reading appointed for the day. I'll read it for you again. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Slavery and freedom. That's what's at stake in the Reformation era. That's what's at stake today. And this is how the Reformation continues. The sad reality is that we, like those in the gospel reading, we don't always consider that we are those who are enslaved. We feel like we're free all the time. But if you practice sin, you're a slave to sin. Has any one of us attained perfection yet? Didn't think so, myself included. None of us are perfect, which means in some way we are indeed enslaved to sin. So what do you do in your life? Or, you know, what are your sins? What are your vices? We all have them. You probably know them all too well. The things that you struggled with and the ways in which you sinned 10 years ago are probably still the same ways that you sin today. What gives? Why can't we conquer them? Why can't we get over these sins that we want to put away so badly? It's because we're slaves. That's why. We're enslaved to our sin. You know, one of mine. This is my sin, right here. In fact, it's with me in the pulpit, which is almost kind of embarrassing since what I'm about to preach. But we have these things. Everybody's got a screen in their pocket. Technology, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, YouTube, Netflix, TikTok, even browsing Amazon. How much time do we how much time do we waste with all this garbage? How many hours do we spend a year watching TV? Because we know what happens when these things, they enter our eyes, and where do they end up? But in our hearts. They affect how we think. They affect what we do. They affect how we engage with other people in this life. How many of your thoughts are actually your own thoughts? How many of your thoughts are actually just something that someone has regurgitated into you, and you have repeated it point blank as if it is your own? In fact, when was the last time any of us had an original thought? We're so inundated with technology and the noise that brings into our lives that we hardly ever stop to think. We hardly ever stop to have a quiet moment of reflection. Whether we want to admit it or not, our minds are enslaved. They're enslaved to what the culture wants us to think. And yet, when we try to divorce ourselves from overindulging in our screens and our technology, well, what happens? Falls short real fast, doesn't it? In fact, I'll give you a challenge here as we're thinking about this. When you leave the church today, you know, you'll walk out the door, but first time you pick up your phone or look at a screen, I want you to notice in the corner what time it is. How long you think you're going to go? 5 minutes? 10 minutes? Maybe 20? If you get a long drive, maybe you'll go a little further. Oh, at least I hope so. Don't look at your phone and drive. But truth be told, I bet very few of us will last more than an hour. Because we're enslaved. Thus, we need a reformation. We need freedom. And Jesus doesn't leave us wanting. He silences the influencers of this world. And instead, what does he put right in front of us? His word. His truth. His life. And that never lets us down. You don't have to wade through or fact check the scriptures. There's no fake news in those pages. It's all real. It's all true. And it's all for you. When we read that, we simply get to bask in what is the freedom of knowing that we have reconciliation with God through Christ. We get to see how Christians of old have struggled through their lives, and what did God do? But by faith, he brings them through again and again and again. And he takes this people of Israel who actually were enslaved physically, and what does he do? But by miracle upon miracle, he grants them freedom. And if God's going to operate that way with his people of old, how do you think he's going to operate with you? We open the scriptures. We allow Jesus to come in through our eyes, through our ears, and into our hearts because it frees us. It acknowledges our slavery and it says, you know what? You are a slave. You do sin. But Jesus has life for you. Jesus calls you not a slave, but a son. He did it by going to a cross. That's what it takes for your freedom. Jesus has to pay with his blood. Jesus has to pay with his death. But the Son sets you free, and you are free indeed. Tech, media, TV, that's one thing, right? There's more slaving going on, right? We all know this is true. What else do we get enslaved by? It's what goes in our mouth. What we put into our body, not just with our eyes, but physically put into our body. Food? We really like to abuse food, don't we? I mean, food tastes good. So time after time we put in food, but we don't just stop when we're satisfied. We overindulge. That's what our nation's been taught to do. Alcohol, great gift from God. Wonderful. Wine gladdens the heart. But what do we do with alcohol? We overindulge. Drugs even. Drugs are good. If they're used for the right purposes. But as a nation, what do? We overindulge. You may or may not know this. Actually, drug addiction is actually higher amongst rural communities as a percentage rather than in big cities. It's a real problem. All these good things that God provides for us in our daily bread, and what do we do with them? But we use them for sin instead of for good, for righteous purposes. This is how people get enslaved, right? That's what alcoholism is. You're enslaved to the liquor or the beer or whatever it is. This is how addiction begins with drugs. You're enslaved to the drug. You're looking forward to your next hit, your next experience, your next high. Now, this is what our country is dealing with, and you know, maybe some of you, I don't know. What do we need? We need a reformation. We need freedom. And Jesus doesn't leave us wanting. He gives his word to us. And you know, he recognizes full on that we've abused these physical gifts in life. But what does he do anyway? He speaks a word of truth. And in spite of your slavery to these things, he calls you a son. That's one of the worst things with addiction, whether it's just eating too much food or alcohol or drugs. People get led to despair. And they start to think that because I am doing these things, because I am so stuck in this addiction, it means that I am beyond salvation. No. You're saved in spite of your addictions. That's what it is to put justification above sanctification. It's not your good works that prove you are a Christian. It's Christ's good works that prove you are a Christian. If you receive him, you are a Christian. If you receive him, you are free. And honestly, once you receive freedom from Christ, then we can start to begin talking about how to get out of that addiction, about how to put it aside, about how to live a better life. And what does God do? He takes alcohol and wine. He takes bread. And he combines it with his word. And what does it do? But it strengthens your faith. It forgives your sins. And it sets you free. That's a good use of what we put into our body. Christ's body and blood in us. I got one more for you. We're still enslaved, right? We live in this reality where we are enslaved, but Christ has also set us free. And those two things are constantly warring back and forth. But there's one more I want to mention this morning, and that's that we are slaves here. You know, the Jews in our text, they thought, we've never been enslaved to anybody. And honestly, we're really tempted to think the same thing in America, United States, the land of the free. But we're enslaved. We elevate our politicians to savior-like beings. Honestly, it's disgusting. We think everything will only be right in the world if my candidate gains office, or if my candidate remains in office. Get over yourselves. Now, this is how we know we're enslaved, is because anytime politics come up and we get into this debate and everything gets so heated, who's actually ruling there? I don't want to get angry. You don't want to get angry. I don't want to get upset. You don't want to get upset. But inevitably, that's what always happens. These political ideologies, they have mastery over us. What does the scripture say? I mean, we need a reformation, don't we? We need freedom. And Jesus doesn't leave us wanting. See, as Christians, we have this great privilege of living in this country. But even more than that, what do we have? The privilege of living under Christ. His authority. What did he say? All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. To him, to this guy. Whether our candidate wins or not, That doesn't change. Jesus still rules heaven and earth, and he always rules it for your good. And there will come a time in the not so distant future where Jesus will come again riding on the clouds. And in that day, he will rule us for all eternity. Now, not to say we shouldn't be involved in the political, system, right? We go vote, democracy, it's a good thing. Well, let's not get so caught up to turn that into our false god. Because that's when we are enslaved. We haven't even mentioned churchy things yet, right? I mean, those exist too, but we're enslaved in all kinds of ways. We're sinners. And honestly, we always want to play a role in our own salvation. We want to put sanctification above justification. We want our good works to prove that we are good Christians. And we convince ourselves sometimes in the church that if we can just pick ourselves up by our own bootstraps and conquer one sin or another sin, or if we can start to do this or that, or if we can just, whatever it is, if we're living by if we can just, then we're enslaved. Enslaved to think that I can do it on my own. But if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. It's not your job to conquer your sin. I mean, it certainly is your job to struggle against it, to fight against it, to push back against those sins within you. But it's never your job to conquer it. Jesus did that. That's what the Reformation's about. It's about getting over ourselves, getting over our slavery, and instead recognizing that we should only be enslaved to one person. That our faith needs to be placed in one person. And we have to constantly get called back to this. Because it doesn't come natural. And it doesn't come easy. So the Reformation has to take place every day, every week, every month, and yes, every year. Because it isn't just a stroll through the past. It isn't just a pat on our backs. It's the truth that Jesus has conquered for you. That Jesus is the way to heaven. That you have been freed from your slavery, not based on your own action, but on his. And since the Son has set you free by his life, his death, his resurrection, then you are free indeed. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds and your reformation in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.